Welcome, virtual entrepreneurs, millennials on the go, and adventure seekers with big dreams. You found the right place. My name is Alexis Teichmiller, a millennial, lifestyle blogger, and digital creative. The Laptop Lifestyle is designed to inspire, educate, and challenge you to live the life you want every day. Together, let's unlock how to live the laptop lifestyle to the fullest. What up, laptop lifestylers? It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here, and wow, it is a beautiful day, and I have one of my personal favorite bloggers on the show today. Her name is Kelly Mindell. And I have to be honest with you guys, I fangirled a little bit because I've been following Kelly for, gosh, a little over 3 years now. And she actually has had a big part in my blogging journey. Kelly is the colorful powerhouse behind the DIY lifestyle blog, Studio DIY, where she shares bold projects, yummy recipes, and fresh ideas for making life one big party. Kelly is super passionate about celebrating not just the holidays, but the everyday, and her smile-inducing projects have been featured in Martha Stewart Living and Parenting Magazine, as well as BuzzFeed, The Today Show, Miley Cyrus, NPR, and more. Kelly lives in Los Angeles with her husband, Jeff, and her new adopted son, Arlo, who is absolutely adorable. In this episode, you will learn how to create a loyal community online, how to address negative comments online with kindness, which I know can be very difficult, the importance of honoring your intuition in life and business, and why you need to take control of your own future to create the life you want. One of my favorite quotes that Kelly said in the show is, "One of the biggest issues people have is they see life in boxes. You have to get outside of those pre-planned perfect boxes and chase what you want." Guys, Kelly is incredible. We created some awesome magic on the show. We talked all things Studio DIY, her battle with cancer, how she combats negative comments, how she created a costume for Miley Cyrus's international tour. It gets real and it is so much fun. I cannot wait for you guys to listen. Please share with your friends online if you resonate with this episode, or you can also share the laptop lifestyle, leave a comment on iTunes as well. We'd really appreciate it. All right, let's get to it. Hey, hey, laptop lifestylers. It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here. Welcome back. I am so excited, like fangirl excited, to have on today's guest. We're going to create some really incredible magic together, mostly her and a little bit of me. This is Kelly Mindell of Studio DIY. Hey, girl, what is up?
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Of course. I have been following your journey now for a little over 3 years. And you, a part of your story has even encouraged me to start my own blog. So you're a part of my blogging journey too. I'd love for you to kind of share how you got started with Studio DIY. I also read that you've been an entrepreneur since you were 15, 16?
Yes, that is accurate. I have always just loved starting businesses. So when I was 15 or 16, right around there, I started a jewelry business when I was a kid because I just like loved making necklaces. I took one class and I started a business and I sold at all sorts of local craft fairs and like home parties to like my mom's friends, basically. And then I kind of started dabbling in fashion design. I actually had a show in New York Fashion Week for this Teens in Fashion program at 16, which was pretty amazing. And I've kind of just always had the like entrepreneurial bug. But Studio DIY started in college, actually. So I originally went to school for fashion and then realized that I didn't really want to be in that industry. So I ended up transferring to more general college. And I really wasn't feeling inspired or challenged by my curriculum. So I approached my professor or the head of my department, the communications department, and was like, "Can I do my own thing? Like, can I do an independent study? I really want to build this blog." I had been working for some other blogs on the side, and I just really wanted to kind of try my hand at it and see if I could make it part of my curriculum, because that's kind of the person I am. I always feel like, why not ask? Because the worst they can say is no. So they said yes, which was awesome. And I worked with a couple of my professors to build out the first version of Studio DIY, which looked very, very different. And that was my senior year. And then I graduated. And 6 months later, I launched the blog with the help of my web development professor. So it's kind of all I've ever known since being out of school, which is pretty amazing, even though I obviously worked a lot of side jobs at first as it was kind of getting started.
That's great. I mean, I first off, I actually started a business in college too. I got bored with my curriculum. I was in marketing, and I wanted to apply what I was learning to something. So I started a women's clothing boutique actually, and did trunk shows out of my car.
That's amazing.
And like, yeah, so I totally relate to your story a lot. And I love that you had the tenacity to go create your own path. And like, if someone is right now in that kind of, I guess, confusion state where they're not necessarily happy where they are, or they're not really going in the direction that they'd like to go, what advice would you give to someone kind of like you did to just either create it for yourself or ask other people to help you create it?
I just think you have to keep in mind that it never hurts to ask. I always like to think dream big and then accept what happens and kind of just work my way towards my biggest dreams. I think one of the biggest issues that people have is that they just think in boxes sometimes. They can't get out of that box, especially in a school situation or even in like a typical office situation where everything is just so planned out for you that it's really hard to break out of that and be like, but I don't want to do this. I want to do X, Y, and Z. So I always encourage people to approach people and ask them, can I do this instead? Or, you know, never ever feel like just because something is laid out for you in a certain way that you can't try to challenge that. Because like I said, the worst that somebody can say or the worst that can happen is they say no. And then you go back and you start again with something different. And a lot of the times you'll find that you get a yes and it will create a whole new path for you.
Yeah, you just have to be open to asking. At what point in time did you kind of develop this? That's a very entrepreneurial way of thinking. because I feel like you can think like an entrepreneur, but not necessarily own your own business. You know, you could be an entrepreneur and things like that. At what point in time did you kind of develop that mindset of, hey, this is what I want, I'm going to go ask for it, or this is what I want to do, I'm going to go create it?
Oh my gosh, so early on. My poor parents. My mom always likes to say that she was in labor with me for 36 hours because I always had a mind of my own. but I, even in high school, that's probably the first time when I really challenged kind of the rules or the curriculum. I had definitely had a lot of that mindset before that, always starting like little fun side businesses. But in high school, I did the same thing that I did in college. I was like, I am not getting what I want out of these classes. I want to do my own thing. So I ended up asking if I could leave early every day and do an independent study with my art teacher outside of school, who is one of the biggest mentors and influences in my life, mostly to build a portfolio for what I thought was going to be my fashion career. I was trying to get into fashion school, but really, I gained so much more from those days where I left school at noon. I like crammed all my classes into the early time. I took early classes at like 7 a.m. And then I left every day and I just spent the afternoon one-on-one with him building a portfolio and just kind of talking about like bigger life pictures. And it was a really amazing experience. And I was probably one of the only people in high school that did that, but they let me do it because I asked. So that was definitely the spark of it. And then clearly I continued the pattern.
Yeah, what kind of shifted in your mind about the fashion industry? Like, I'm curious as to why you wanted to get out of it.
Absolutely. I think it's just so cutthroat that it just was almost overwhelming to me. at first I wanted to do fashion, and then I came out here to school to fit them out here. And I thought maybe I would do more costume design, and it just felt a little bit overwhelming to me. And I think that I wanted to kind of use my creativity in more ways than one and not just pigeonhole it into fashion, which is amazing because now my career kind of involves fashion and home and DIY and parties and all of the above. So I think it was just too, again, like it was too set out and in a box for me. I needed something more than that.
Yeah, and now with Studio DIY, I mean, you kind of created that in college, and then you said you moved to LA after college, right? Or you were in LA for college?
I came out to LA for FITM, Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, for a year, and then I ended up transferring back east to Washington, D.C., to American University. But I knew that I loved L.A., and luckily Jeff, who was my boyfriend at the time, also loved it. So when we graduated, we moved out here together.
Got it. And I actually read on your blog that you guys were long distance for a while.
Yes, we were. We spent that year apart. It's funny because we grew up in the same hometown. We're high school sweethearts, but we didn't meet until the end of high school. So it's like ridiculous that we lived in the same town for 18 years and we met 3 months before we were both going to opposite ends of the country. But we did a year apart, and then I transferred back to where he was in D.C. And then he ended up going to London. So we've been kind of back and forth all over the place together. But here we are. We're married now and have a baby. So what do you know?
Yay! I love it. My boyfriend and I are actually long distance, going on 3 years. So I get that long distance. Oh, man. I get it.
It's tough. But I think it builds a lot for you.
Oh, for sure. You definitely strengthens your communication.
Yes, absolutely.
So when did you look at Studio DIY like, okay, this is a business. I've created a business.
You know, I think I always thought of it as a business, which I don't think is very common when it comes to blogs. A lot of people start blogs as a personal thing and then it just kind of grows. For me, I always thought of it as a business, but I thought of it differently. I originally wanted it to turn into some sort of in-person studio where people were able to come and craft and make projects for parties and weddings and things like that. But hence the name, Studio DIY. And so I kind of saw the blog initially as like a jumping off point for that. But obviously things took a different turn. I've kind of gone with the flow, and now the blog is the business itself, and we've branched off in other ways.
So what are all the aspects of your business? I mean, you've done everything from created costumes for Miley Cyrus, and then you also teach people how to do things on your blog and, you know, working with the Today Show. Like, there are so many aspects, I think, of what you've taken Studio DIY and you've molded it to be so many different things. And you've really, you know, diversified, which I think is incredible. Like, what are the main, I guess, you know, product lines or revenue streams for you?
Absolutely. So still the main product or the main revenue stream for me is sponsored content or brand partnerships. So that can kind of manifest itself in many different ways. A lot of them include sponsored blog posts. So a company will pay me to promote their product organically within content that I would already be creating on the blog. So that might be a DIY project or some sort of style post or a recipe. Or a party, anything like that. And now that social media has become so much more important, I'd argue that Instagram is as important as the blog, if not more. I also see a lot of partnerships come that are focused solely on social media. So a lot of Instagram partnerships, which still work the same way, still promoting a product, but doing it more so on the Instagram platform. So those are definitely that's the main revenue stream, is however those different brand partnerships work. Then I also have sidebar kind of banner ads, which are definitely very secondary. I know there's been a lot of talk about where those are kind of headed in the blog industry. We actually had removed them at one point and then brought them back. We're testing different things to see what kind of works. And then we have affiliate income. And then most recently, we have our product lines. So that was a huge dream of mine, to launch my own product lines. I really wanted to make a way for people to access the studio DIY style that I had cultivated in a more easy and accessible way if they weren't into DIY or didn't want to spend 3 hours painting a balloon. They just wanted to buy the balloon. So that was a huge, huge dream of mine that I'm so lucky I was able to achieve.
Yeah, that's incredible. I saw that you released all of your balloons on your shop. And I mean, that's honestly, you know, a couple years ago, that's kind of one of the things that I kind of knew you as, like, oh, she always has all those incredible balloons. And, you know, everything was very curated, but it had such personality. And that's what I love about your brand. It's, you know, it's very colorful. It invites curiosity. And I think that is something whenever, especially when it comes to creativity as an entrepreneur, that you should always be curious and always kind of be testing and experimenting. What is something that you have been, I guess, most surprised about when it comes to your blog? Like, what has surprised you the most when it comes to building your blog?
I think what surprised me the most is just the community and how positive and uplifting it is. I think that a lot of times people get a bad rap for when, you know, everybody's kind of doing similar things. Like, there's so many bloggers out there that you would think that the community would be really, that people couldn't really get along and support each other. And it's kind of amazing how much everyone does and how much the audience supports me as well. Like, I've just been so floored by the support I've gotten, both personally and professionally, and now as we're selling products. You know, it's amazing how awesome the audience has been. And that's really what has surprised me the most, is that I have this extended community of people who love what I do, and I love hearing their stories, and I just feel so lucky to be a part of it.
What is it about your community, or I guess, how did you go about building such a loyal community? Because, I mean, your community is very loyal, and I think whenever you have that influence to create a loyal community, you're able to grow, and, you know, you're able to impact that many more people because of it.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be anything without my community. I think what's been the most important for me has been sharing more of myself. So originally I was like, oh, I'm not going to share too much of myself. Like, I want to separate the business from me. And then I started realizing, as the blogging market got more and more saturated, that I was what made my blog different from everybody else. So I couldn't really and didn't really want to separate myself from it anymore. I actually wanted to put more of myself into it, because that's what made me stand out from everybody else. So I really started putting myself in front of the camera more so first. And I think that was the most evident when I went to a conference and people kind of recognized me as the blog, versus before, when I had been to places, people didn't really know me by face because they had just known my projects and my work. And then I've taken it definitely a few more notches up in the sharing of my personal life. I've shared a lot about my health history and health struggles. I've shared about our journey with infertility and now adoption. I've really shared so much of what makes me me. And I think that that has allowed a community of people who have either fought those same battles or inspired by those battles and how I've overcome them. And we really have all kind of banded together in this amazing community on this crazy journey.
And I think that's really what blogging is all about. And that's what I love about the online world, is that you can connect with anybody anywhere at any time. And the fact that you've been so, no, really, isn't it though? It's like Jedi mind tricks. Like, I can be talking to somebody, you know, in Asia, like, it's just nuts. Yeah. And then you can have common connections, you know, because we're all human and we all struggle and we all hurt and we all, you know, have dreams and goals. And I think what I love about your brand is that you do that very well. But I'm so glad that you actually brought this up, because it was one of my questions or something I've been curious about, is there has to be a level of vulnerability for you to open up and be transparent and share so much about your life on the blog. And you are right. What makes your blog successful and what makes it you is you. But how do you open up the doors to vulnerability and like sharing even things that make you feel a little uncomfortable?
I think it's harder for some other people than it is for me. I've always been a very open and transparent person. I'm the kind of person that you can like ask me anything and I will never not answer. Like, I'm always happy to share everything, because I think that you gain so much from hearing other people share those things. But it's definitely a little bit scary. Every time I write a blog post that is more personal, I like can't sleep the night before, because I just am so overwhelmed knowing that I'm putting it all out there in a way, even though I know now that everybody is so supportive. But I think it's just like getting up the courage to take that one first step. And maybe that step is small. Maybe you're not sharing that you're struggling to have a baby. Maybe you're sharing something, you know, that you had a really rough night because you were stressed out. I think you have to start with baby steps if you want to start opening yourself up, because frankly, it is the internet and there are people out there who maybe aren't going to be supportive. But the thing is, there's so many more people who are supportive and helpful, and it's so, so worth it, which is what I've learned. That it's just, I don't even see a consequence anymore. I think I've just gained so much. I mean, I've met people who, I had a very rare cancer as a kid and I had a very big surgery, and I've actually met people who also had it, which is, I mean, you just don't, there's like a handful of people in the whole world that have what I had. And it's amazing that because of this, I've connected with people. Like, it's kind of things like that where you can now relate to these people who are once strangers on such a personal level. That's so amazing to me.
No, me too. Like, I love that you've always been open, but I also love that advice of, if you aren't open, to start small with the smaller things. Yes. And then maybe that will allow you to kind of get more comfortable with sharing. And you're right. Like, I've noticed that whenever I'm more vulnerable or sharing more, there is no consequence, because that's whenever you open up the doors for connection. However, there will always be haters. Hate is going to hate.
Absolutely. Always. So, but it's so worth it to me. And I think that you just gain so much from it. And what you realize is that you're not alone, which is the biggest thing. And I think that working behind a laptop can be really isolating at times. And you're like looking at people who seem to have these like perfect lives on Instagram and on blogs and this and that. And when you open up, or when other people open up, you realize, oh wow, they're struggling too. It's not just me. And it brings a huge sense of comfort too.
Yeah. And humanity to it. Because I mean, I can totally relate to sitting on Instagram and being like, I want to be on the top of Machu Picchu and like in a beautiful sundress with a hat, holding someone's hand behind me with pretty bracelets on. Like, I want to be that. So I think we live in a world that is sometimes very skewed too online. Yes. And you're right. Being behind a laptop can be very isolating, but finding that kind of sweet spot of community online too, is very, very important. How do you, I guess, address people who might not mesh with you, or I guess, quote unquote, the haters? How do you address that energy? And then do you, like, I mean, how have you combated that in the last, you know, 6 years of your blog, or 7 years?
I'm very lucky that I don't get a ton of it, which I am very thankful for. I've seen other bloggers get attacked far more than I do, and it breaks my heart. But I'm not without any at all, for sure. And I treat them two different ways. If somebody maybe doesn't like what I do, but they say it in a constructive way, I'm happy to address them. Like if they say that something I did was a ridiculous amount of time or amount of money or something, I'm happy to address it and kind of explain my point of view, kind of like a kill them with kindness situation. But the other side is the people who are just in it to be mean. And I just don't think it's worth addressing at all, to be honest. I think that the people who are just in it to be mean, they're looking maybe for attention, or they're looking for something that you don't want to give them because it will just breed more hate. So if somebody says something that is just so out of line, I tend to just ignore it and move on, because I don't ever want my audience, who, especially as I have a growing, more of like a tween and teen audience that's growing, and I feel a lot of responsibility to show them how to handle these situations. I don't feel like it makes sense for them to see me going back and forth in a total hate-filled conversation.
That's a really great point. Like, the responsibility to the people that are loyal to you, you want to be an example to them of how to handle conflict.
Yes. Yeah. So I like to show that if somebody says thing, like, because I have gotten criticisms about my weight a lot, because I keep bringing up my medical history has caused me to have a really hard time gaining weight. So I've gotten criticisms about, you know, being underweight and promoting anorexia and eating disorders. And I always address those in being honest about my story, because a lot of people don't know it if they just come across my Instagram. It's not evident that there's a story behind why I'm so thin. I'm not, you know, not eating. I eat horribly, actually. I eat a lot of donuts, but I always want people to see that you can address people if maybe they don't understand the history behind something in a kind way. But then there's also just the people who know and who are just being mean, and those people aren't worth your time. You're working on building a bigger, better community, and it's not worth a minute of your time.
Yeah. So I love that you have, you know, two different ways that you kind of address those things. You either give people context and give them kindness, even if maybe their comments weren't positive or they were kind of rooted in negativity, or you just don't respond at all, which I think is great. And I think that kind of aligns with you creating that really positive brand that you have, is by sticking true to how you handle that conflict. Kind of switching gears a little bit, I would love for you to share, one, how you created a costume for Miley Cyrus, because I'm just curious. And then also, how do those opportunities come your way? Is it, you know, just building a solid brand over years of time? And I'm the reason I'm asking is because a lot of people look at bloggers and they see overnight successes. They don't see years and a team behind you, you know? And so I want you to kind of speak about how long it does take to build partnerships like that. And then, you know, that there is there's actually years of planning and work and effort and a team behind you to make things like that happen.
Yes, absolutely. Well, first, let me tell you the funny Miley Cyrus story, and then I'll get into all of that. So she actually reached out to me, which is the craziest thing. So one day, somebody tagged me in like a meme that they had made. I made an avocado pinata. And there was a photo of me that had been like circulating Instagram, and somebody had taken it and put Miley Cyrus's face on me and tagged both of us in the photo. And that was in the afternoon. And later that night I was home and I got this like really weird email. It was like a one-liner email, and it was from this like crazy email address. And it was like, "Hey, it's Miley. I love what you're doing. I want to do something together. I'm going to get you in touch with my costume designer for my tour. Signed, Miley." And I was like, "Huh, that's weird." I was like, someone is definitely like trolling me. Like, I was like, somebody who must like really hate me and wants to like play this prank on me. And then I went back I looked.
The email address like didn't have her name in it or anything.
No, it was like some, I won't say it because I don't know. I don't want to like out anything, obviously, but it was like some crazy email address. And I was just like, this is weird. But like, I mean, I've always been a huge fan of Miley and how she thinks for herself. And so it was just the kind of email where it was like, she's totally the kind of person who would reach out like this. So I looked back at Instagram, and Miley Cyrus, like her herself, was following me. And I was like, interesting. So I emailed her back and I was like, hey, I'm a huge fan too. Let's totally do something together. And just kept it short because I didn't really know what to expect. And then her team hopped in and we started talking and they were like, so Miley wants you to make her a stick of butter costume. And I was like, okay. And then again, I was like, well, this is again, either a great prank or I'm literally going to make a costume for Miley Cyrus. And they sent over her measurements and luckily she was like the exact same size as me. So I could use myself as like a model. And I worked and it was like a really tight turnaround. And I worked to like build this butter costume out of a hamper that I bought at the Container Store and like foam and fabric and all this craziness. And I like made it and I finished it. And then I brought it over to her stylist, office, and I walked in and there I didn't see Miley, sadly, but there was all of her costumes, like the ones that she had worn, the crazy stuff. And I was like, oh wow, this is actually Miley Cyrus.
This is real.
So I left it and they were like, we don't know if she'll wear it or not, like she's having a fitting tomorrow. And then a few weeks later I saw all these pictures coming out of her first concert and there she was in the butter costume, and it was so surreal and crazy. And it all started from what I think was both of us being tagged in some random meme. So I guess I should really thank that person.
Thank you, internet.
Yes, thank you, internet, for connecting me to Miley. No, but it was awesome, and I'm such a big fan of hers, so it was pretty cool for me.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like, I think that is one of the coolest things, and that opportunity came from, honestly, the internet. Like, that just came from somebody tagging both of you, and then opportunity kind of just was there, and then you were like, well, this could be a spammer, or I am going to make a costume for Miley Cyrus.
Exactly. Sometimes you just got to take the risk. But I find that a lot in my business, that stuff just comes from the internet or from reaching out. Like, one of my biggest partnerships that I've had for several years with Balloon Time Helium Tanks came from me just tweeting at them. I just tweeted at them and was like, hey, I'd love to work together. Is there an email address I can reach you at? And they gave me one, and we've had several year-long contracts. It was my first big contract, which kind of allowed me to get my studio and my first employee, because it was a security, in secure money that I knew was coming in. And it all started from a tweet, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I have never found it I have never found any negativity or any bad opportunities come from reaching out to people. And just, again, like you said, asking them if there's an opportunity where we could work together. I mean, even if they say no, now you know. And then you can maybe reach out to them in 6 months and keep bothering them and be like, hey, I really want to work with you.
Yeah, so it's always worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Tell me about, again, kind of that overnight success but took 10 years myth. Or like, not even a myth, but it's true.
It's so funny because it really does seem that way. And people see bloggers now and they have teams and studios and all this. And they're like, how the heck did this happen? When in reality, people have been working for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years at building that. So for me, it just took so much work. I never had what I call like an Oprah moment, where all of a sudden I went from like 0 to 60 and there was my huge audience. It always was very, very, very organic for me. So when I started the blog, I was working a bunch of side jobs in the wedding industry and for other blogs, and was just hustling on the side to do my own DIY projects in the 2 feet of my house at the time, or my apartment at the time, that actually got natural light. And I just continued to put work out there and try different things. And then that was the big thing, was I was just experimenting. Originally I thought the blog was going to be more wedding focused. And then I did one like colorful project once and it really took off. And that was kind of my first project that was featured in other blogs and on other sites. And I was like, maybe I have something there. And I'd always loved color since moving to California because it was just so bright and colorful out here. And I just kind of started building upon that. And that's how it evolved. Like, I didn't really start Studio DIY thinking it was going to be this like colorful rainbow lifestyle blog, I started it thinking I'm going to do some DIY wedding stuff and eventually open a craft studio. So I just gradually built it and listened to both myself and what I enjoyed, which ended up being more diverse projects, and also what my audience enjoyed, which was this like crazy, fun, colorful, wacky lifestyle.
Yeah, for me, I'm always like, what is she going to do next?
You never know. There's always so many crazy ideas floating around, and we're always working ahead, especially on things like Halloween costumes and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. Something that you said that really kind of struck me was I always listened to what felt natural to me and what felt right to me, and then also, you know, to your community. How do you discover that inner voice of, okay, this is natural, this feels right, or when it doesn't feel right, or you're in a bad partnership, or you're going in a direction that you don't want to head down? How do you, I guess, hone in that intuition? And then how quickly do you make a decision to get out of it, or to, you know, move in a different direction?
I think this will probably always be everyone's biggest struggle, is learning to listen to your gut from the start. I feel like a lot of us have really good gut feelings right away, and we just kind of bury them because our brain is telling us something different. Like, oh, I should do this partnership because it's a good amount of money, or it seems like a natural fit, but maybe they said something in their email that kind of caught you off guard and your gut was like, oh, this seems like a bad idea, but you do it anyway. So I'm still learning, but I'm always trying to trust my gut. My operations manager, Samantha, we were working on something once and I was like, oh, I just don't know. It doesn't feel right, but I really should do it because it seems like it's a good fit and it's a slow time of year and we shouldn't turn this down or whatever it might be. And she was like, you always have a really good gut feeling. And she's like, your gut feeling is always right. Like, she's like, if you think that something is going to do well with your audience, it does. And if you think it's not, but you still do it, it doesn't. So when she said that, I kind of was like, interesting. It was a good outside perspective for me. And I'm trying more and more every day to learn to listen to that. Just that gut initial, like, one split second feeling you get when you get an email in your inbox or when you have an idea of whether it's good or not. You got to really work on harnessing that, because often it dictates how the rest of the partnership or the project might go.
Yeah, it's kind of just honoring your emotion. And sometimes I'll even judge that intuition of like, maybe I need the money right now, or time, like it's a slow time of year, or you know, partnering with this brand is going to make my personal brand stock go up, you know, versus actually kind of honoring those feelings, which I think that's incredible advice. I just have a few more questions for you. One that we didn't even get any time to, I feel like I could ask you questions forever, is that source of creativity inside you, is something that I've always really respected and really admired about you, is that you're able to take an idea and you're able to really create something tangible and just visually inspiring out of it. How do you hone in that creativity and also honor it and listen to it whenever it's, you know, all over the place?
Always a challenge. No, I think it's really important to always have your eyes open and be just observing everything in the world. I think, like you had mentioned before about curiosity, I do think that's the key to creativity. It's just constantly exploring and researching and looking around you, because you really never know where inspiration is going to strike. I always look around me and try to see things in a different perspective. So I always look and think, oh, what can I turn that into? Or how can I make that my own? And it's a fine line between taking inspiration and copying always in this creative industry. But that's what really brings out the curiosity and inspiration, is when you see something so, so different from what you do and you think, how can I take just even an ounce of that, even just a color or a shape, and make it into something
that is my own. And I only see that when I'm really like always looking around and always have my eyes open and ready to absorb new things.
Yeah, it's just being receptive, you know, being receptive yes. to all the different opportunities, but also, you know, whether it be it looking at your backyard in a different way or traveling across the country or world, you know, always being open to that inspiration and letting it hit you at any point in time is so important. And I love that. I love that you do that. Kelly, I actually just have one more question for you. But before I ask it, I'd love for you to share where people can find you online.
Yeah. So you can find me online at studiodiy.com and on Instagram at studiodiy. Luckily, I've kind of kept it simple across all the platforms.
I love it. Yeah. You started, what was it, 7 years ago? Is that right?
It was 2011. So coming up on six.
Six. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you were able to kind of get on that Studio DIY Instagram before anybody else had it.
Yes, exactly.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for just being so transparent on your blog as well as being on the show, Kelly. Again, you've been such an inspiration to me and an inspiration to so many people. And I love that you live a laptop lifestyle. So actually, my last question for you is, what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
It means everything to me. Laptop lifestyle means I'm able to achieve my dreams as an introvert, hence the laptop part, but also build this amazing community that far exceeds the people I could interact with geographically here in Los Angeles. It means that I get to interact on a daily basis with people all over the world who are like-minded or who aren't like-minded and really challenge me to think in a different way that I wouldn't have otherwise being in this like little tiny bubble that I could be. I think working behind a laptop seems really isolating and like you're only, you know, you're all by yourself all the time, but really you have so much more of a world open to you than anyone else does. And like I said before, it's just like completely mind-blowing and I feel so lucky to be a part of it.